The numbers told the story, they always do.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Hour number two on A Numbers Game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, Baton Rouge. All brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. It's Gil Alexander. Jeff Parlay is here as well. Jeff Parlay news coming up later on the show as well. Jeff, are you excited about Jeff Parlay news? Are you excited for that segment?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. By the way, Brett Kern just got cut by the Titans.
Oh.
So,
really?
Yeah.
By the way.
Punter news today.
Punter news. Well, believe me, we've had enough punter news in the last few days of a different matter. Anything about the preseason you wanted to say? Like Jimmy Garoppolo? Michael Lombardi seems to think Jimmy Garoppolo is headed for the Seahawks and that the Niners are just trying to make that as difficult for the Seahawks as possible. Difficult meaning have him have as little practice time before a game or before the season as possible.
Well, I mean, Seattle plays San Francisco week two, so that does make sense.
It does.
Absolutely makes sense from what Michael has to say there. But I mean, I have really no takes on the preseason other than the fact that there are some teams that showed you that are going to be really bad that I think are exactly what we think going in. Like the Jaguars could very easily be really bad again. The Jets, even though they went 3-0 in the preseason, not good. So there are plenty of, but that's really the only thing I could take from it more than anything. Also, if George Pickens can stay healthy, George Pickens could be very good for Pittsburgh.
George Pickens could be very good. That was something we said earlier in the preseason as well.
Yes.
Yeah, all of that. Let's talk some baseball in the meantime. Rob Pezzola will join us a little later this hour. But let's talk some baseball with Paul Spohr from Fangraphs, of course, the Sleeper in the Bus podcast. Also, of course, and by the way, no professional football this week, we should point out. And also, of course, at spohr.tv, was it a twitch.tv/spohr? There you go. Every night where he plays MLB The Show. It's Paul Spohr. How you doing, Paulie?
I'm doing well, Gil. How are you?
I am very well. I have a couple questions. Sort of throw these out, and you can tell me true or false on these. One, Tony Gonsolin on the hill for the Dodgers tonight, and we talked about how, you know, listen, he's 16-1. The most anybody's ever been with one loss was 18-1. Roy Face, 1959 Pirates, who could forget it?
Nobody.
We bet on Roy Face, I think, a lot of times that year. The most with two losses, 19-2, right? That was Greg Maddux. Last year, though, Julio Urias, 20-3, didn't even sniff the Cy Young. True or false, Tony Gonsolin, who, by the way, the Dodgers -220 prohibitive favorites on the road against the Marlins today, as they just continue to win. Tony Gonsolin, true or false, cannot afford even one more loss if he's to win the Cy Young.
I mean, he could, but it is going to be tough. Like, he is fighting an uphill battle. I think Sandy, with the complete game against the Dodgers after getting hammered by them, is massive for his narrative, and he's been the front runner for most of the year. The electorate has just moved away from win loss as, you know, a major deciding factor. He's on the best team. He's gotten great support. He's pitched brilliantly too. This takes nothing away from Gonsolin. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, maybe it has to be that tight, but I just don't think he's going to be able to do enough to really get into it.
True or false? This is more speculative. It's the last weekend here, or last couple days, I should say, of August, last few days. Padres are playing the Giants. The Brewers now tied in the loss column with the Padres for the final wild card spot. This three-game series with the Giants, if the Giants win this series, you are inclined to make the Padres a dog to get to the postseason. If the Giants take at least two out of three, you will make the Padres, which you're wearing their hat, by the way, a dog to make the postseason.
I think that's fair. I mean, Hader is a mess right now. Complete mess. Did not rebound.
Was his ERA? His ERA with the Padres is 22 or something like that?
Yeah, a gajillion. Like, he's out of the role. He cannot be trusted. Honestly, not to overstate it, but I hope that this isn't like the beginning of the end, the unraveling of him as a premier reliever. We know how these things can go with pitchers, particularly relievers. So I'm really hoping for his sake that that's the case. And obviously Bell and Soto have not come in and exactly, you know, carried the offense there. They continue to underperform with this talent. They got to go Rodon, Webb, Wood. I'll spoil it right now. My pick of the day was going to be the Giants.
There you go.
At minus 130 with Rodon. I don't trust what Clevinger's doing. His skills aren't there. The ERA is, but it's a little bit fraudulent if you're looking over the last like five, six, seven starts. I think they're in a bad way. They do need two or three here, or else you really have to start looking at them as fighting in this muck as opposed to a team that has a lockdown. So, yes, I'll say I agree with that. If they lose two of three here, the Padres are a dog to make the playoffs going forward. It's going to set them in a really bad spot here if they don't figure out a way to get two or three against the three studs for San Francisco.
Especially because at that point, they will have 30 games left in the season. And right now, they have the second hardest remaining schedule. Talk about the Padres in baseball. And sloughing off three games against the Giants is only going to make that, because the Giants are sub-500, is only going to make that strength of schedule even harder with,
exactly.
with nine of their final 30 against the Dodgers, three against the Cardinals, two against the Mariners, I believe that is, that I'm looking at right there. Yeah. So,
they're in trouble. And they've blown the opportunity to like really hit the ground running here in August. So now they've set themselves into this position. So, I mean, they have the talent. I don't know what's going on with San Diego. It doesn't make sense. You got guys like Ha-Seong Kim even playing well, too, like kind of picking it up if you want to go and point to like the Tatis thing, which I wouldn't even hold water anyway. Well, they haven't had him at any point this year.
So that was going to be my question, though. How much of the blame, fairly or unfairly, will he get?
If it's any, it's unfair. I mean, we can clown him for his terrible choices off the field, not just with the PDs, but with the motorcycles and all that. But they didn't have him at all this year. I don't know, like, were you guys, like, treading water thinking that he was going to come back and take it to the next level? No. So I don't really think he deserves any for this year. They got Soto and Bell, so you can even say that that covers Tatis because they were expecting to get him back. So I don't think that would hold any water with me if they were trying to say, like, oh, Tatis was the reason that we couldn't get it done.
All right, and just housekeeping, RIP Giants and RIP White Sox once and for all?
Definitely the Giants and probably the White Sox. Yeah, you talk about another team underperforming their talent. And listen, I mean, they kind of deserve it. They never should have brought TLR in, and it's finally kind of, you know, that stink is permeating everything over there. And I think they need to run him out, do some reshuffling, and figure some things out in Chicago. But yeah, they're also underperforming their talent. Tim Anderson's on the IL. I don't know. Like, Cleveland's legit good. Minnesota's been there all year. So I don't know where they're going to get in. I don't see where they're climbing back into this with the White Sox. So, yeah, and the Giants, too. That defense is so bad.
So
the
bad.
Platoons aren't clicking quite the way they did last year. The hitting isn't the worst. It's the fact that the guys they put in for defense with those platoons, it's just been a nightmare. And it has really affected the pitching, particularly the bullpen, too. We know about Cobb and Wood having, like, really good underlying results with bad ERAs. But even the bullpen has been burned by this terrible, terrible defense.
Mets with a three-game lead over the Braves in the NL East still have the easiest schedule in all of baseball remaining, so I won't ask you about that again. We'll save that. Well, St. Louis actually a little easier than the Mets, but that's neither here nor there. We'll save that for another time. You said the Giants were your favorite pick of the day. Was there another one?
No, it was that one there with Carlos Rodon. Again, I think he's been awesome, and Clevinger has been kind of skating by there. So the fact that they're only like minus 130, minus 135 with the Giants, that's where I'm going to go. And then as far as DFS, I'm gonna take the easy way out. I'm going to stack Cardinals against Chase Anderson. I'm sorry, but it's in Cincinnati as well. And I just sometimes you just go with the chalk there, and I'm basically doing that there with a Cardinals stack. Whoever you want to get in there, see who's in the lineup. They do play after, you know, the night game yesterday on Sunday night, but it's a 5:40 game. I don't think a bunch of guys will be out or anything. But even if they are, I'll put the subs in. I'll put Newt Barr in. You know, I'm fine with all that. So, Cards big time hammering against Chase Anderson in Cincinnati.
All right, there is your DFS. And now for the beat the dead horse portion of this segment, ladies and gentlemen, we go to tweets from Trent Rush. Everybody, Trent Rush, who can be found at Trent Rush Sports, by the way. He's a broadcaster on Angels Radio, although he's not the number one guy, of course. We all know that our buddy Vasgersian is. Trent Rush, just for those who may be confused on who to vote for AL MVP, Shohei Ohtani just out-dueled Alek Manoah, tossing seven scoreless innings with nine Ks on the road, only to back it up with a three-hit day, including a homer. He then goes on to say, I should add, these kind of back-to-backs are becoming borderline routine for Shohei. It's hard to even fathom. I understand if you struggle with the significance of that, which I think is such a great way of putting it. And finally, but finally, there was this other one that we want to throw in because we were talking about Roy Face in 1959. Who could forget that? But who could forget this, really, Paul? Stats by stats, Shohei Ohtani currently leads the Angels outright in both plate appearances and innings pitched this season. Let me say that again.
Gosh.
He leads them in both plate appearances and innings pitched this season. The last MLB player to lead his team outright in both plate appearances and innings pitched in the same season was Jim Devlin of the Louisville Grays in 1876.
Wow.
Oh, I remember that season. What a season that was for Devlin.
It was awesome. He went crazy. Devlin, you know, he wasn't expected to be that good that year, but he really popped off. It was awesome.
Anyway,
I think the people that have leaned on the valuable word in past years that are now against Ohtani are really struggling with that because you simply can't be more valuable than the best hitter and best pitcher on a team. You just can't. I'm sorry. Aaron Judge has been amazing.
Yes.
He might still win it.
It's
an electorate. You do not know. I cannot get my head around anybody but Ohtani. And I just don't think I'm wrong here. I'm sorry. I'm not. I haven't seen the case. Anytime I get in the argument, it's like, well, he's a better hitter. Okay, fine. What's Aaron Judge's pitching look like? And I don't care about their other 24 teammates. I don't care that one's on a crappy team and one's on a good team. It doesn't change anything. We overstate the heck out of that. Like, every game is easy for Ohtani because they're not competing, and every game for Judge is the hardest thing ever. Yeah, right. That's not true.
All right. I would say the horse has been beaten, but I don't think you should really say that this day and age. Yeah, I don't think you should say that.
I mean, that's all right. Yeah, we won't beat any dead horses.
Yes, we won't do that. Thank you, Paul. Always appreciate it.
Thanks, Gil. Take care.
Paul Spore, at Spore, S-P-O-R-E-R on Twitter. Rob Pozzola in the studio next. And in case you missed it, the new VSiN lineup on the other side, right here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated every 10 minutes so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Also, a bunch of changes around here, Jeffrey. By the way, later on the show, Jeffrey Parlay News. Very exciting. But other changes around here, people should know in case you missed it. VSiN with an all-new lineup for football season, which starts, does it start officially today? Yes.
No, tomorrow.
Tomorrow. By today, I meant tomorrow, everybody. Tomorrow it starts. Every weekday, 2 p.m. Eastern, you'll see and hear VSiN Big Bets with Dave Ross and Amal Shaw, VSiN Final Countdown with Stormy Bonatoni and Matt Brown. Hey, I know that guy. 4 p.m. Eastern. And then Tim Murray and Sean King bring you VSiN Primetime at 6 Eastern. Then Femi Abebefe and Wes Reynolds tackle the live games with VSiN Live Bet tonight at 9. And the Greg Peterson Experience wraps it at midnight. Plus, Brent Musburger makes his return to VSiN with Brent Musburger's Countdown to kick off at noon Eastern on Sundays starting September 11th. So not this coming Sunday, but the following Sunday. Head to VSiN.com for more details and to become a subscriber today. It's Gil Alexander once again. First time on a numbers game, and the treat is that he's in studio with us. Brady Cannon mentioned on Wednesday that he was going to play golf with Rob when he was in town, so that logged in my head, and I was like, I got to get Rob on. I hope he's here on Monday. Rob Pozzola, ladies and gentlemen, among other things, the host of the Circles Off podcast. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, Gil. How about you?
I'm doing great. Great to see you. You're headed to back to Canada after the show? I'm
headed back to Toronto. Busy NFL season upon us, so yeah. I've got to get all my ducks in a row over the course of the next 10 days or so.
Do you think you're most branded with hockey, probably, of all sports?
Yeah, I think most people, obviously being from Canada, I've been betting hockey professionally for a number of years now. That's how most people would know me. But I do a lot of NFL stuff. I really try to bet anything that I can get my hands on. That's good stuff. But mostly NFL and NHL, I'd say, is what I'm known for.
When do you start with NHL season? Like, when do you dive into that?
Depends on how well football's going. That's the honest answer.
That's a great answer.
Yeah. If I'm struggling early on in the season, I can't wait to shift gears to hockey right away. Things are going well, I can use a little bit longer of a break. So it's not consistent year to year.
Late September, you're like, I really got to learn about the Columbus Blue Jackets. I really need to know about them now. All right, so NFL, let's seize on that. First of all, what are the favorite bets that you have? And where are you sort of against, anecdotally or maybe by market, the conventional wisdom?
I'd say favorite bet that I have, very good market prices on the Eagles to win the NFC East. I was pretty high on them. Now you're seeing the market kind of gravitate towards them and the Cowboys being more of a coin flip. Obviously, the Tyron Smith injury for the Cowboys had a lot to do with that, yeah. Starting left tackle, being out for several months. But I just felt like the Eagles' floor is extremely low, even with Jalen Hurts. I think they're one of the most complete football teams on paper, where if they can just get above average quarterback play, I think they're actually in a dark horse Super Bowl contender.
So that's interesting. You said even with Jalen Hurts. Right before you said that, in my head, I was like, I bet his assessment of Jalen Hurts is better than most if he thinks that. But I didn't get that from even with Jalen Hurts.
It's not. I'm actually quite low on Jalen Hurts, I think, relative to what most people think. I just think that the addition of A.J. Brown is obviously huge for that team. If you look at Hurts, typically, he's more of a one-read type of guy. If that breaks down, he starts to roll out to his right. He'll throw a lot of balls downfield, chuck it up one-on-ones. Now you have guys like Brown and Devontae Smith as your 1-2. Dallas Goedert's a very good tight end as well there. I just think he's in a position to be successful right now. I think that he will likely have a good year, probably play above his skill level, in my opinion. But I just really like what that offense brings, and obviously the offensive line being what it is. If they don't suffer the injuries that they did last year, that's one of the best units in football as well.
All right, besides Eagles, what do you like also that you have?
I'm not sure that I really love anything else that I have.
Is there one you've made that you don't like as much?
Yes. First bet I made this year was the Baltimore Ravens win total over. That has actually, I'm holding a really good number there. I just feel like that there's this perception now that the Ravens were very unlucky last year. They obviously had all these injuries, especially in the secondary, that really killed them on. And there's all this talk about how the Bengals were lucky, which is true. If you just go back to
a
year ago,
the playoff run was just magic.
100%. Yeah. There's a lot of things that worked in their favor. From an efficiency perspective, the Bengals were just a barely above average team last year. With that said, I think a lot of people are discounting the Bengals. Another year of growth for Joe Burrow. Addressed a lot of the issues on the offensive line. I think they're a good football team on both the offensive and defensive line. They have a ton of weapons. So we're seeing the market correct now to where the Ravens are the favorite to win that division.
Seems like everybody has that bet.
It's almost like everyone thinks this is the year for Baltimore, that they're they'll get over the hump. Last year was just facade, and Cincinnati, this is the year that they probably take a step back because got lucky last year, magical run, but can they sustain that? We look at the odds to win the AFC North right now. Ravens 145, Bengals plus 175. I think that should be closer to 50-50. So I do have a good bet and a good number on the Ravens, but I'm not convinced. I feel like this is a market overreaction.
Part of that narrative also, they were 8-3, and then everything went wrong for them. So this is clearly a good 8-3 football team, that type of team. Since we have the AFC North odds up, let me just extend this to the Browns and the Steelers. Has the conventional wisdom on the Browns, or the conventional thinking on the Browns now, the pendulum has swung too much, in your opinion? Like, in other words, okay, Deshaun Watson won't be there 11 games. We finally got that hashed out. But is the public underestimating this football team now, in your opinion? And then where do you stand on the Steelers?
So the Browns, in my opinion, are a very, very good football team on paper outside of the quarterback position with Jacoby Brissett there. I think what Deshaun Watson would bring to that team would be able to overcome a lot of their deficiencies, particularly at receiver. They have probably one of the worst receiving corps in the entire league. I don't know that Brissett's going to be able to get the most out of that offense. Now, granted, they just have to survive till Watson gets back. The first four games of the year are pretty easy, so they could get off to a good start there. I think that the Browns are probably a little bit undervalued in the public perception right now. In terms of the Steelers, I can't ever remember getting the Steelers right. I think Mike Tomlin has this Belichick factor in that he's able to get more out of his teams than you would typically. Like the Steelers team last year
never had a losing record.
The Steelers roster last year was brutal overall, and they were able to at least be competitive in a lot of the games. I don't know what to make of the Steelers. Obviously, there's a lot of uncertainty in terms of how long will Mitch Trubisky play at quarterback this year. Is it going to be one game, four games? Maybe he has a good year. I don't think that's going to happen. But it's a team that I just don't really have a good feel on, other than I think that they're significantly worse than the other three in the division.
Chrissy Andrews, who I do Guessing Lines with, who we were just talking about, he's a lifelong Pittsburgh Steelers fan. I think he said it the best way, and maybe this is why they're so hard to – just one reason why they're so hard to wrap your arms around – they have players on defense that are so spectacular, right? Three or four players that are just off the charts, that it just makes up for everything. And you can't, Like, as much as you want to quantify that, you can't really.
I agree. I mean, it's they're that team where they had such a great defensive line for so many years that they put so much pressure on the opposing quarterbacks. And it was almost like when they needed a defensive score, they would get it. You know, me and my friends would always joke about this, but the strip sacks for seven all the time. Like, it's just so consistent in my memory. One thing that's probably a little bit undervalued, I think a lot of NFL fans typically, even those who bet the NFL or model the NFL, are using like a standard home field advantage for every team. We know that home field advantage has steadily been going down in the NFL for several years. I do think the Steelers still have a very large one that maybe is kind of flying under the radar, and it's just kind of a hidden X factor in them being able to pull out games.
I asked you this before. You might have answered it with your take on the Ravens, that you're not as high as your initial bet on them. What do you have the most contrarian viewpoint on at this point?
The Lions, for sure.
You're anti-Lions.
I'm anti-Lions.
Because everybody loves the Lions.
I think I have never I cannot remember a time where a team with a below average quarterback and a below average defense have gotten so much hype going into the year.
I'm laughing because it's like he is below average, right? Like, we remember that about Jared Goff. It's so true.
I mean, yeah. He had his head coach calling out plays for him. Like, remember with the Rams, he had to rush the line of scrimmage really early so that McVay could get in his headset before the 15-second cutoff to read the defense for him.
What was my man's name? Wolford? He started a playoff game over him.
Right. I think people forget that. Here's what's happening with Jared Goff this year is people are talking themselves into him being good, because if you look at Jared Goff historically, his numbers when he's not under pressure are actually above average. Yeah. Now, that includes all those Rams seasons where I think he had a very good head coach and schematically they were doing a lot of good things. The offensive line will probably be good for the Lions. That's the strength of their team. So people just generally think, well, if the offensive line is good and Jared Goff is, you know, always been good when he's not facing pressure, then this will be the year that they're able to finally get over the hump. To me, Jared Goff is still Jared Goff. A lot of his numbers last year were put up in garbage time. And that's another huge thing with the Lions, right? Everybody's looking at the same metrics year to year, and they're always looking at record and close games from the year before and saying, oh, this team's due for positive regression or negative regression based off their record and close games. These games last year where the Lions lost one score games were not close games. They're not my definition of a close game when you're down 28 going into the fourth quarter and you mount to some sort of comeback. So I just think that there's been an overreaction here. I think there's the Hard Knocks effect as well. People are falling in love with the team. So
they are very lovable on Hard Knocks. Dan Campbell's very lovable.
Agreed. Yeah. But the perception of Dan Campbell, look at how that's changed over the course of a year. People are making fun of him in his original presser.
I raised my hand.
Yeah.
I might have been one of them. More with Rob Pizzola on the other side. We'll talk about the Circles Off podcast. Bet Stamp, what is that? In studio, right here from the South Point. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, proud sponsors of this program right here. It's Gil Alexander. Don't forget about our betting guides, though. Here at VSiN, football season bettors know that this is when the money is made. Nobody knows football like VSiN. Now's the time to become a VSiN subscriber and get our comprehensive college and pro guides. Only VSiN subscribers get all the tools to prep for the college and pro football seasons, though. Our experts provide profiles of every team with advanced stats and power ratings, plus best bets on season win totals, division finishes, and player awards. Sign up early, and for a discounted $175, you'll receive both guides, that's both of them, and full VSiN access all the way through the Super Bowl. Or join us for $40 a month and see everything VSiN has to up your betting game. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options and become part of the Sports Betting Network. It's Gil Alexander, Rob Pizzola, co-host, we should probably say, give your buddy Johnny some love also, of the Circles Off podcast. We'll get to that here momentarily and to what BetStamp is, which will just sort of an umbrella thing, but we'll get to that momentarily. I just want to ask you two follow-up questions on football. One, we just talked about it on air. You were here for the Circa weekend, if you will. What did you end up signing up for?
So I did the full house for the Circa contest. So six Circa Survivor entries and three Circa Millions entries. So nine in total.
What are you more excited about?
I think Survivor's more exciting.
Yes.
And I get more of a sweat out of it on a weekly basis. With that said, I'm probably more excited for the Millions because, I mean, there's a decent chance there'll be overlay there. I think the Survivor there won't end up being overlay.
Never again. Yeah,
but the Millions there might be. So, and there's just like a prestigiousness, I guess, with winning the millions.
I would agree with that.
That's not there if you win the Survivor.
That's right. We're not. That's very true. Like, we still talk about, like, in 2011, Brady Cannon won the Hilton Super Contest. We are not going to be like Jeff Parlay won Survivor in 2021. That is true. That will not happen.
Right, especially if you end up with a split, which happened last year. I think there was five people that split the Survivor. So there's just an element. Like, everyone wants to win a big football handicapping contest, and I think, you know, winning the millions is... I guess obviously there's a huge luck factor involved, but it's a better measure of your football acumen, I would say, than the Survivor.
The only other football follow-up I have, and I loved your answer on the Detroit Lions last segment, do you end up doing, therefore, ergo, a lot of alternate season win totals? Do you dive into those at all?
I do, yes and no. I'm not a huge futures player. In general. So I'll only really play a future if I feel like it's a pretty large edge. For those that may not understand why, just find it's more valuable to just continuously roll your money over on a daily basis than have a bet tied up in your accounts for a longer period of time. So I will, like, in the sense of the Ravens, I have some alternate overs on the Ravens. That was the first win total I played. I thought it was very, very off at that time. Played some alternate win totals as well. But it's not typically a market that I'm just going to gravitate to and say, you know, this looks wrong, so on and so forth. I'll tie up this for a long period of time.
Okay. So we met at Bet Bash 2, mm-hmm. Spanky's conference, this past beginning of April, right? The last weekend of March Madness. Obviously, I had known of you before, but we had never had a chance to meet, so it was great meeting you there. And one of the things that you had already embarked on by that point was a couple things. BetStamp. Explain to us what that is.
Yeah, BetStamp. I mean, the quick elevator pitch is just a betting utility that you should be able to manage all of your betting from within the app. Now, it's a glorified odds aggregator is what I would call it. One thing that I think the recreational bettor, most bettors don't do enough of is line shopping. It's the single...
For sure.
You know, biggest chance for you to gain an edge in the long run, or at least save yourself money, even if you're a losing bettor, so on and so forth. Lots of
advantages. You don't even have to be a good handicapper, right?
Exactly. Yeah. If you're someone that is close to making that jump into being a winning bettor, probably just shopping lines would be enough to get you over the top. Mm-hmm. So we do aggregate odds from pretty much every sportsbook across North America, so that when you're going to go place a bet, you'd open up BetStamp, find the best odds. There's other utilities involved with it, bet tracking, being able to sync with specific sportsbooks as well. There is a buy and sell marketplace where we can verify that a tout's record is actually real, that they're establishing those records at real lines, not giving out stale numbers and so on and so forth. So there's a ton that goes into it, but at its core, it really is a line shopping tool.
It's a line shopping tool. What's the part that you just sort of naturally like the most of the ones you just mentioned?
I like having a verified leaderboard. So if you were, for example, I don't do a lot of college basketball betting, mm-hmm. but if I went to BetStamp, I could find a dozen college basketball bettors that I know win long-term just by tracking their picks within the app. I can subscribe to notifications for them. As soon as they lock a play into BetStamp, I can now go out and bet that myself. Essentially, you can build a network of sports bettors, so to speak, or capitalize on other good bettors. And this is all public. People know that it's there. It's not like I'm doing anything that anyone else couldn't do. But that, I think, is a very useful feature. If I want to get down on more stuff, even if I don't handicap it, I'm willing to tail someone else who is successful at the sport. And I can go through their closing line value, full history of every play they've ever locked in.
And then there's the Circles Off podcast, which is part of BetStamp as well.
It is.
Okay. So the reason that I love having you here, and it was great to meet you, is because you are a voice that is needed. You are one of, you know, to me again, and I don't throw this around, but like one of the people that should be doing a podcast in sports betting. And so you're like a really valuable voice to have. And Las Vegas Chris tipped me off on an episode or two, which I found, one of which I found rather fascinating. What has been the most gratifying thing for you, who is relatively recent development in your life doing this podcast?
To be completely honest with you, it's the amount of people who have gone from not having a clue on betting sports and losing a bunch of money that say that they've learned so much from an educational perspective just listening to the podcast that they now are able to win. And that is huge. Like, whenever I hear that, you know, there's always a balance when you're a pro bettor of giving away too much. and giving away too little. You want to make the content entertaining. You want to make sure somebody can gain something out of the episode, but I also don't want to just completely give away all my secrets and lose my edge. So you're always, you know, you're on that line every single time that you're producing some piece of content. But to be able to have people reach out to me and say that they got value, actual value out of that podcast.
What more could you want?
Exactly.
That's why we're here, right?
That's the end goal. So yes. That's what really hits home with me.
I couldn't agree more. So this is sort of a leading question into this for me, which has to do with the podcast episode that I listened to, which was not your most recent one, but one of your like handful of five most recent. What bothers you the most about our little corner of the world?
What bothers me the most is people who misrepresent themselves as something that they're not. So the content space is fascinating. You look at a lot of the content that's blowing up nowadays, whether that's TikTok, Instagram for the younger demographic. I think that people are seeking a sense of community in a lot of cases. But there are people who produce content that are losing bettors who kind of joke about themselves being losing bettors. They're very real with the people that follow them. I have zero issues with that.
People gravitate to those kind of people.
Agreed.
Yes.
There's people out there that have massive followings. They'll tell people they're losing bettors and they'll put out parlays every day and they'll have an army of people that'll bet the same parlay as them just because they want to ride or die with that person. They want to feel the same emotions as that content creator. I kind of like that. I get that. I was at that point in my life when I was a teenager as well. But where I draw the line and where I have an issue is when someone passes themselves off as an expert in the space. That's not. And the sports betting industry is very weird because it's like the only industry where you made a bet on sports. Okay, you're qualified to now talk about it. And a lot of people are going to start tailing your action at sports books and so on and so forth. That doesn't happen anywhere else.
Well, and that's it, right? So it's with legalization in the U.S., that mainstream media just sort of, I'm painting a very broad stroke here, but it feels like if you were to paint a broad stroke that it's like, oh, betting is now legal, we will all now talk about betting. And I would you know, listen, over 4 years, it's been 4 years, four plus years, has the improvement been there? Yeah, incrementally, there's been some improvement. I mean, initially, it was just horrific, right? That's also that's what you're talking about in some respects as well, right?
Yeah, the initial stages, what a lot of networks did was they just took existing talent and turned them into their betting analysts, right? I saw a company-wide email that went out that was literally, hey, if you've bet on sports, let us know, because now you can preach that and talk about that. You have some sort of experience in it. It just doesn't happen elsewhere. So that's where I draw the line.
It doesn't happen elsewhere.
There's sportsbook money at play here as well. And I get if you're a sportsbook, it's probably in your best interest to sponsor people who are losing bettors that get a lot of viewership and so on and so forth. It drives traffic to your sports book, drives a bunch of losing players to the books. So there's a lot of different things that are at play here that aren't at play in other industries as well. But I just have a fundamental issue, like a morality issue, when someone comes out, represents themselves as a winning bettor, and they're not, and it's essentially just leading sheep to the slaughter.
Because we have dedicated our lives to this, right? It's such a passion play for us. Like, it's in our DNA. What else would we do with our lives if we didn't do this? A lot of people, like myself, I don't know if I can answer that question. And so that's what makes it so offensive.
I'm 35 years old. I started betting when I was 15. I've had 15 years of betting where I was a losing bettor, five where I was a winner. It took a long time to get to where I am, and that's exactly why I have a
problem. And we all start out not knowing a darn thing. We all do. Anybody who tells you differently either is lying or they haven't done this long enough. Circles off. Why that name, by the way, real quick in 10 seconds?
That's when Pinnacle used to take the circle off, meant that the limits were coming up for the game. So we wanted a creative name.
I love it. Rob Pozzola, everybody. He's got to catch a flight. Thank you so much, Rob.
Appreciate it.
Coming back with some Jeff Parlay news next.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers Game proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada, and we do appreciate it for sure. BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets and risk-free tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program, featuring exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager on the BetMGM app. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. Jeff Parlay is here as well. By the way, thanks to Rob Bazzola today for being on. Paul Spohr. My goodness, Sean Patrick Griffin with us earlier, the author of Gaming the Game. And don't forget about Peter Futak as well. Thanks to everybody for joining. We get tweets at Beating the Book, overrun with tennis pick questions. What were your tennis picks? VSiN.com/newsletter, correct, Jeffrey? VSiN.com/newsletter.
Sign up. Just get the whole subscription at this point, guys.
Just get the whole subscription.
Get the whole subscription.
Because what you're saying is if I give them the picks on the Twitter machine, then they won't go sign up.
Correct.
Okay.
If you miss them or listen back on the show podcast after the
show. Or the show podcast.
Yeah, you got options.
We have a numbers game podcast.
You got options.
We don't say that enough, right? A numbers game has a podcast every day. This is from Craig Parlay. Do you know this guy?
Maybe.
Craig Parlay. On the live issue that you talked about earlier, the big loser is the DP Euro Tour. Only a handful of impact players from the U.S. have gone to live. Most are internationals. It's creating a throwback to an earlier era when international players played the European Tour and the PGA membership. This is from Eddie C. He says, listening to Gil and Sean Patrick Griffin talking about Gaming the Game, cannot wait for the podcast, I believe he means when he says can't wait there. This is, boy, so everybody just commenting on things we talked about earlier. Ryan Hyatt. Oh, we missed Ryan Hyatt on primetime, actually. He says, I'm convinced that Gil's goal in life is to only release tennis plays while I'm driving down the road at a fairly high rate of speed. Okay, I'm sorry about that. I'm like, wait, what's Ryan Hyatt's speed? MPU? What's his speed?
It's got to be 75 in West Texas, right?
What's his odometer say right now? Let's see here. These are also tweets. Again, always at Beating the Book. Always appreciate it. Sam Wesley asking, only tennis content in the newsletter that he saw was on the U.S. Open Megapod. The picks will get in there, though?
I am currently staring at today's version of the newsletter with your picks for today.
Not according to Sam Wesley.
Well, I don't know what to
tell him. Well, this was 45 minutes ago.
Oh, that's a big difference.
Okay.
And they were in there an hour ago.
By the way, Beating the Book podcast, I did a U.S. Open preview with Drew Dinsick on Thursday. We do all the slams on the Beating the Book feed. So it's all about guessing lines and megapods during football season. But we definitely do every single tennis slam, if not more tennis tournaments. I think we did Indian Wells as well this year. And the response to those tennis podcasts are out of control. And, of course, our buddy Dan Weston joins us. So thank you to everybody who listens to those. Let's see. Do I want to Ron Burgundy through any of these? Phil Weiss, you don't want to Ron Burgundy through his tweets, Jeff. He says, I want royalties on your Beat the Dead Horse segment about Otani. Okay. We'll send you some royalties. Let's see. Okay. Yeah, we'll leave it at that. But I appreciate all the feedback from everyone on these. Oh, Chris Heath, is it a coincidence that there is so much good sports betting content provided by handicappers in Canada? Some of my longest follows in the Twitter gambling world. How about that? Shout out to Rob Bazzola, who was just kind enough to do that, to be here with us. It's an interesting point as well. Let's see here. All right. Taco T-Bone, great to see Rob Bazzola on today. Line shopping is key. Take a 50-50 better, and if he line shops and uses promotions the right way, he becomes a winning better. Yeah, I don't know if you'll become a winning better, but you'll certainly be that much closer to being one, that's for sure. And don't need anything else to just incrementally move you up towards that. Keno Walker, great conversation with Rob Bazzola. I hope millions of bet experts get in their feelings. Don't be mad. Don't feel sad. Just accept the truth. Thank you, Keno, on that. Okay, we said earlier, you know, on a day that we just mentioned what, you know, the new shows here on VSiN are. We mentioned those earlier. And you can check those out on the website as well, VSiN.com. Our own Jeffrey Parlay, who, by the way, it should be noted, is not his actual real name. Producer number 5 and producer number 8, Jeff Parlay, is actually Jeff Parles. And Jeff, would you like to share with everybody what's going on with you?
Gil, well, all I will say is today, these last 5 minutes are the final 5 minutes as the producer of this show.
Oh.
So 5 and 8 will be giving way to number 9, who, by the way, I'll just say, you'll find out tomorrow, you are going to be very happy with producer number 9, guys. If you watch this network, You're very familiar with him.
One of my favorite humans on earth.
Yes, you are very familiar with producer number 9, and he has better facial hair than I do. That's all I will say.
He does have that.
Yes, he has better facial hair than I do. But, yeah, I will be doing shows on the weekends.
What times will you be doing shows? Do you know?
I will be on at 3 o'clock Eastern, both Saturday and Sunday. Lengths are different, so check out VSiN.com for all of our new shows. But I can't get rid of Ben Wilson. I just can't shake that guy.
I don't think you want to get rid of Ben Wilson.
I can't shake him.
In fact, I would recommend just grab onto his coattail, and you will go places.
Can't shake him. I've been trying to shake him for 11 years now. Just can't do it.
Lou, let me tell you something. As I say every time, I have Under a Cloud of Smoke, from an undisclosed location in the desert, whatever I say after every guest has their own little phrase. With Ben Wilson, do you know what my phrase is? He will be more famous than anybody to ever come out of VSiN. Brent Musburger excluded. By the way, you see this nice, speaking of Brent Musburger, brief aside, you see the 1952 Mickey Mantle baseball cards got sold?
I saw that.
People are like, what do you mean, speaking of Brent Musburger? He might have one. Or two.
Yes. So
back to Jeff.
Yes.
I don't want to steal your thunder.
Sorry about that. You're good.
Sorry, a little ADD. So you are no longer going to be producer of A Numbers Game. We'll all be sad to see you go. We will. We'll all be happy to see the next person as well. Both things can be true.
Yes. Both things are true. Yes.
And you're doing your two shows on the weekend. Is there a name for those shows, 3 p.m. Eastern, Saturday and Sunday?
Matt, what's the name of the show?
He doesn't even know.
Live Bet Saturday and Live Bet Sunday. Matt Santos is producing those shows, so I had to ask him.
Matt, thank God you're here.
Yeah.
Live Bet Saturday, Live Bet Sunday.
I didn't want to get them wrong, but...
Okay, there is one other development. Would you like to share that?
I will. You know what? I will let you do it.
All right.
Because this is... It is your product.
Listen, Gil. I don't want to say Jeff buried the headline, but Jeff might have buried the headline with apologies to what is it? Bet Saturday? What is it called?
Live Bet Saturday and Live Bet Sunday.
With apologies to those two fine programs, which I'm sure there will be. Jeff Parles now joins us on the Megapod each and every Thursday. We don't know where we're broadcasting from this year. We don't know quite yet, but the Megapod. Remember guessing lines. We never do a week one guessing lines because those lines have been up all summer. Guessing lines doesn't start till the Monday before week two, but the Megapod will start not this Thursday because there's no NFL this coming Thursday. Remember, the fourth week of preseason was replaced by just nothing. But next Thursday, so 10 days from now, Jeff Parlay joins us for the Megapod. Jeffrey, we're happy to have you.
I'm very excited for that. I am also very excited to see the Cork Attic on a weekly basis. So, be very happy
You're
there.
Speaking of Todd Wishnev's Cork Attic.
Of course.
Todd Wishnev and I played tennis in Santa Monica this weekend. And
You will not play tennis here in Las Vegas this week?
No, he wants to.
It's going to be 110.
Todd Wishnev will join us on A Numbers Game this week. That's, by the way, our new producer who... I'm allowed to say my new producer's name.
Go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's my buddy Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9.
He's 9.
Love Kelly Bidlin. But Kelly, poor Kelly, the first week he's here, it's like, here's Wishnev. He's like, oh, I can't believe I did this. Can't believe I came to this show. Wishnev will be here, and among other things in studio, Wishnev will be with, we hope, Steve Fezzik. Talk about their weight loss challenge. We'll get some football thoughts from Steve Fezzik as well. We'll have Matt from EV Analytics on the show this week. But anyway, again, back to Jeff. Sorry, Jeff, I keep going away.
Gil, I just want to say, as always, thank you for everything you have done for me. Because I walked in here in 2019 barely knowing the space. And you respected me from day one and helped me along to where I've gone from being a bad better to just a mediocre better at this point. So I'm very, very happy that this was the gig that was open when I applied. Again, I got fortunate that another great gentleman, Matt Jones, had taken another job in a different market. But I am forever grateful for two separate stints of 1 year exactly apiece. How about that, no less, Gil? One year apiece, even for both stints. And I'm graciously giving way to Kelly, who will do a phenomenal job here.
Jeff, that's very sweet of you. Thank you so much. I didn't know that was coming, so I appreciate it very much. I hope you become a great better in your evolution as well. And listen, man, it's been a blast through summer because we've been through a pandemic together. So that was, you know... We've been through ups and downs, that's for sure. It was always a pleasure having you, meeting your family and beyond. So we'll see you on the Megapod on Thursdays, man.
Yes, you will. Can't wait.
Cannot wait. Jeff Parlay, everybody. We're going to have Kelly in today, but then we didn't. Jeff wouldn't have had a chance to give the old farewell. So we wish you on your way, sir. Saturdays and Sundays right here at VSiN. The Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.